6 o'clock, if you don't have your DVR set, it's on ABC, Channel 7 on DirecTV. I don't know what it is anywhere else in the world. But Chandler's supposed to make have a spot on there. She's going to be coming on. So I hope you'll not stay home and watch that, but you'll tape it and watch it after service and all of that right there. And so we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord. And so anyhow, I thought you might want to get that. Let me tell you, I can't tell you how that uncomputer friendly that I am, and I worked on it and worked on it. Call Miss Alex. You know, it's going to be on ABC. Well, it don't say ABC on my TV. It says Channel 7, KTR TV, you sorry sucker you, or something like that. And I finally found it. I had to run through several years, but I finally got it. And anyhow, that's tonight, 6 o'clock. Set your DVR for it, all right? Take your Bible, as you will, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And if you're able to stand, we'll look in one verse, and we'll get started from there in verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray that you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over every soul that's here and those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject, the signs of an apostle. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, you're either going to believe what man can do, or you're going to believe in what Christ has already done. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that you're going to find out Paul the apostle had some people in Corinth there that were questioning his apostleship. They wasn't even sure that he might be a man of God or not. And boy, I want to tell you something. He goes on and asks them and shows them and tells them, for those that examine me in this, and he goes and rebukes them. But in this lesson that's here, you'll find out that he had the signs of an apostle. Don't lose your text there, but looking about verse number 1, that Bible said that one day in the body or out of the body, couldn't tell, but he was called up to the third heaven. And the Bible said there in verse 4 that he was caught up there in paradise, heard unspeakable words that were not lawful for a man to utter. Now, all this bunch of nuts that are coming on and saying, I died and went to heaven, and oh, you're not going to believe what I saw. I saw Jesus. They're lying. That Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There nobody went died and went. They might have ate bad pizza, and they felt better after they belched it up. But you didn't go see Jesus Christ and come back here. If you ever see Jesus, you'll be there with him. And I don't care how old or how young that you are, you'll stay there with him. Paul the apostle said, I was in the body or out of the body, couldn't tell, but I was caught up into the third heaven. And that's beyond the atmospheric heaven where we see birds flying, the planetary heavens where we see the stars at. That's in the great white throne room, buddy. That's the third heaven that he's talking about there. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, is that he is no doubt than an apostle of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Don't lose your text, but 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and about verse number 2, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. He said, if I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that examine me in this. See there, they were questioning, a few of them. Over there in the book of Revelation, whenever he writes to the church at Ephesus, do you realize that, oh, that what he goes there, and he said, I know, he said that you, he commends them for what they've done good. And then he goes on and tells them is that as a result of it, he said, I know you've been faithful to the word of the Lord, and you've tried them that are say they're apostles, but they're not, and you found them to be liars. Now, let me tell you right now, if I were to say something that's wrong, you got a Bible, a complete Bible, to be able to show me where it's wrong. And hopefully you'd show me where it was right. But see, they didn't have the whole Bible whenever this was going on. And so if somebody came along and said, I happen to be an apostle myself, I'm as good as Paul was. All right, can you perform the signs of the apostleship? and when they couldn't. I mean, these are men, buddy, that could cause eyes to see, ears to hear, lame to walk, so forth and on. God gave them some sign gifts that nobody else would have and that could have. Now, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that back up to the book of Acts chapter number 2. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. Here's a man that got saved by his own testimony, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, about verse number 8 and 9. Got saved on the road to Damascus 3 days before he got baptized. This Bible said that when you look in the book of Acts, is that concerning the apostles and concerning the sign gifts they had, this Bible says in chapter number 2 of the book of Acts, he says in verse 22, he said, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, whom was approved of God among you by miracles, by wonders, by signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom that God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that it should be holden of him." Let me tell you right now, look there in chapter 2 of the book of Acts and notice it about verse number 42 and about verse number 43 in the passage it's there. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul and many wonders, watch it, signs were done by the apostles. You see, there were signs that God gave them that other people did not have to validate that they were chosen of the Lord. In the book of Acts in chapter number 4, the Bible says that about verse number 30, in the passage there, he said, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And he's talking about an incident in chapter 4 and an incident that started in chapter 3 when Peter and John went down there to the house of God, and there was a man there that had been laid there from his mother's womb, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk." And he leaping up stood and went into the house of God, praising God as he went. Now, that stirred up the town. You'd have thought somebody, the officials, would have been happy, but it scared them. Boy, they wanted to kill not only the Lord Jesus, who was already resurrected, but they wanted to kill these apostles. And the Bible said that whenever you begin to look at it, this man was above 40 years old whom this miracle had taken place. We're talking about the signs of an apostle. In this lesson that's here, you'll find over in the book of Romans in chapter number 15 that once again that he begins to tell us is that there's some signs of the apostles that other people just didn't have. Now, let me say to you, because in a moment, I don't want to catch you on the blind side, but you'll find out they begin to pass off the scene and they begin to cease these things that they could do. In this lesson, in Romans chapter 15, verse number 18, he says, "For I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make Gentiles obedient by the word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem to around about to Illyricum," if you way pronounce that, "Illyricum, have I fully preached the gospel of Christ." And let me tell you, the gospel is the power of God of salvation to everyone that believes it. It's to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. Notice, if you will, please, there's a passage in Hebrews in chapter 2 that concerning our apostleships and these signs is that you'll find that God plastered the pages of the Holy Writ of the Bible with what God was doing through these men and these sign gifts that he gave unto them. In the book of Hebrews in chapter number 2, and it's about verse number 34, and the Bible said that when you begin to look there, Hebrews verse 3 and 4, excuse me, I didn't see the comma between my 3 and my 4, therefore I came up with 34. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, and also bare them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." Now, I want to tell you something. Make no mistake about it that the Apostle Paul, that we've read the text there this morning over there in the book of 2 Corinthians 12:12, that the signs of apostleship were upon him. Now, I want to say to you, there's a passage in the book of Acts in chapter number 19. And here's what he says in verse number 15. But I'm going to back up a little bit. In verse 8, he goes into the synagogue. He speaks boldly for 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. The Bible said there were some that believed not. In the next verse there, verse number 9, and there were those that did believe in. And there was a lot of disputing and a lot of people that were casting out. But look in verse 11. And the Bible says, and God brought special miracle by the hand of Paul. Look at that. And so that from his body were brought sick to the sick handkerchiefs, aprons, diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now, can you imagine a man so powerful with the power of God upon him that just handkerchiefs or aprons or things that, that's where the charismatics get all of that business there. Having a point, let's have an point of contact. Let's touch this or that. Let's claim this, claim that. And let me tell you right now is that here's a man that had the touch and the power of God, a sign of his apostleship. Now, in the day we live in, you can pick up a newspaper, especially in a big town, and they'll have somebody there calls himself apostle this or apostle that. He's lying. You had to be a witness of the baptism of Jesus Christ in order to be qualified as an apostle back then. That's how I know they're lying. In this lesson that we're looking at in the book of Acts here that we're talking about, chapter number 19, is that in verse number 15, and the evil spirit answered, and by the way, there were people standing around religiously, they wanted that same power that Paul the apostle had. I mean, who wouldn't? But they didn't. They didn't get it. In fact is, if you look at it, these seven sons of Sceva, they were a Jew, and here's what they did was, they wanted to be able to have that power. In verse 13, they said to these exorcists, these vagabond Jews exorcists, they took it upon them to be able to get rid of these evil spirits, so forth, in the name of the Lord. And saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They couldn't claim him as their own. That's not the Jesus they believe. And the Bible said that, verse 15, and an evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And it was known to all the Jews and Greeks that were dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord was magnified. Some came, confessed their sins, showed their deeds. Some came, brought their curious arts, their books, and so forth and on. It was valued at 50,000 pieces of silver. And let me tell you right now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that we're looking at, and here's a man that was a real man of faith. Paul the apostle believed God. Here's a man that was an apostle. He had a touch on him. He had a gift on him. The other apostles had some of that, but they didn't. Not everybody had it. And not only did the apostle Paul have it, but now it's dwindling from him. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, let me tell you what faith is. Faith, buddy, believes God for what he said. Don't make any difference who may agree or whoever may disagree with it. Faith, buddy, act upon what God said, what God's already promised. Now, let me tell you right now, you can either get in on what God's doing and find the mind of God and the will of God, or you'll either try to plan out God's schedule and day for him and try to get God in on that. Well, he's not going to do that. There's a lot of things that if I could change, I guarantee you right now, is that if there's a lot of things I'd change it if I could, but I can't. No need me worrying myself. I just better believe God and act upon what God has already said. Do I present my petitions and requests to God? Yes, I do. With every fiber of my being? Yes, I do. But at the same time, God may have something else going on. You'll either get bitter at God or you'll get better when you find out what God's in and what God's on. Now, I'm going to ask you this right here. I've had some loved ones that died that I wept, I cried, I begged, I throw dirt in the air, I agonized at all of that business. I've been out there in a 100-acre field to where that I was preaching, or rather talking, a 100-acre, what do you call it, therapy. That's where you scream an obscenity as loud as you can because you're hurting so badly. I know you've never done that yet. See? I know you've never done that yet. And if you did, you might be too proud and too pharisaical to even admit that you did. I had a lady one time that lost a son. And I told her, she said, I don't know what to do. No preacher's been able to help me. I said, you own quite a bit of land, don't you? If you'll get right out in the middle of that field and scream whatever your favorite word, it might be the S word, as loud as you can. Oh, my brother, this, I don't know if I can do it. Sure you can. If it don't make you feel better, call me back and let me know. She called me back and said it did. It sure did. Now, does God endorse all that business there? Nah, but you and I are the feeble creatures. And let me tell you, God's in the forgiving business. And let me tell you right now that God knows exactly what he's doing, why he's doing, how he's doing it. And I got tired of trying to change God. I just want to get in on what God's got going. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that here is, you will, if you will, is that we better search for the mind of God. Faith just believes what God's already said. Faith just believes what God's already doing. And I got to tell you, even in the face of adversity, and it's hard to believe that, I told you about a man in Tennessee right now. He's having to go strictly by faith this morning. He said goodbye to his wife last Sunday. She left this world. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, is that Paul the Apostle, they brought, remember that? They brought handkerchiefs, they brought aprons, they brought things that he had touched, and boy, there was mighty works that were being done. And do you realize, though, that his sign gift, the closer that the coming of the word of the Lord got, the canonization of the scriptures, the fewer sign gifts that he had in operation. Now pay close attention. Paul could heal others, but he couldn't heal himself. Do you read in the chapter that we read, he had a messenger of Satan, an infirmity of the flesh. Some preachers say, well, you know, that was persecution. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I can tell you exactly what it was, is that it was an infirmity that was upon him, and three times he begged God to remove. Here's a man that could heal other people and could not heal himself. And he said, the reason why, I'll tell you why, that the power of God might remain upon me. And he said, when the Lord said, my grace shall be sufficient, most gladly then will I bear the infirmities that God has allowed to come my way in life. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, and I know I pray a whole lot like you do, Lord, here's what I need, and hurry up, please. That's the way we are. I'm not knocking that. I'm just trying to tell you the reality of something. In this Bible lesson over there, there was a man, and you don't have to turn there, but over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, about verse number 20, he tells Timothy to come, try to come before winter and bring the cloak and the papyrus, or the books that were written, especially, you know, I want you to bring them. And as a result of that, he goes to telling people, and he says, Trophimus, Paul the Apostle talking, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 20, you can look it up sometime. He said, Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick. You know why? Couldn't heal him. Here's one of the apostolic signs that's leaving him. He couldn't heal him. Remember Timothy, a son in the flesh? Remember that? You read over there in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and about verse number 23, and he tells him, from thine often infirmities, mix a little wine and mix a little wine with your water and take that. You know why he told Timothy to do that? Couldn't heal him. Couldn't heal him. You know why? Because the signs of the apostleship were beginning to leave off the scene. Now notice in your Bible, if you will please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'll give you a moment to find it, in the book of 1 Corinthians, and over there in chapter number 13, in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13, and the Bible said that when you look there in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Now there are those scholarly men that think and say that that means the coming of the Lord. That ain't true. I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about the complete canonization of the Scripture. See, right now, if I say something wrong, you can show me a chapter, book, and verse why.
But before you had a Bible, you couldn't do that. You had to call upon me. Do you have the sign of the apostleship to prove what you're saying? In Ephesus, they found out they were lying to them because they didn't have the signs of the apostleship upon them. And here the Apostle Paul, here's what he said. And I want you to look in verse 8. Charity faileth, never faileth, rather. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Somebody said, well, now, it says there that prophecies is going to fail. Is preaching no more? It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about prophecies. You know what that is? That's the word that comes directly from God without a Bible. That's when they pinned it down, buddy. They found out later if it was true or not. But let me tell you right now, prophecies no longer come. If I don't read the Bible, I'm as dumb as a person never even heard about it. If I'm going to know what the mind of God is, if I'm going to know what God is saying about the way of salvation, about service, about living for God, about walking with Him, I'm going to have to know something from the Bible. See? He says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And let me tell you, and whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. Now somebody said, I want to ask you this. Then do you believe that tongues have ceased? What it said? We've got the complete canonization. And somebody said over there, listen, don't lose your place, but chapter 14 is that in verse number 35, and the Bible says, verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded by under obedience, as also saith the law. And if any will learn anything, let him ask their husband at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And he's talking about what he gave Timothy, and the fact is that they were not to usurp authority and so forth and on, and they were not to teach or preach where men were present. Is that what? He said, came out the word of God from you only. And then he goes on, said these things in verse 37 are the commandment of the Lord. And then he says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You're not going to win an argument with somebody that wants to be ignorant about it. Do you realize, though, that if tongues were in operation today, women could not speak in the church? And that's really what you're finding. Hundala, shandala, shamala, botai, in a mini, mighty, most, who's the God of Hunda? Somebody said, oh, my, you ought not to make fun of them. That bunch needs to be made fun of. That's what's wrong in the day and hour we're living in. We're trying to be nice where God is not. See? I want to say to you that if you will, please, as that tongue's vanished away and they ceased, whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. There's no more knowledge like God gave those men. But when they got it direct, they got it. You talk about a hot sermon, fresh, they got it directly from the throne room and immediately delivered it. Hey, did you ever notice that in the Bible that whenever they gave, whether it be one of them prophets of old, whether it be one of those apostles, whether it be one of those good men of God, did you realize and know that once they had the message from God, they delivered it in a few words and turned and walked off and left them with it. Now we've got some kind of game, some kind of gadget, some kind of get me thing. Now we've got people that are busy about trying to figure out another way to get people interested in the work of God. Let me tell you, dear friend, if the word of the Lord won't do it, there is no alternate plan. Why do you think there's so many gymatoriums across the country? Why do you think now that they've got more little things to be able to do? Paul the Apostle, why himself said, I thought I must do many things contrary unto Christ before he got saved. I can tell you when it's time to get down to business, buddy, is that when you get down to where he was at, and while he could heal others, I can promise you right now he couldn't help himself. Did you know that he carried a medical doctor with him everywhere he went? His name was Luke. Did you know that? In fact is, when it got down to where the rubber met the road, when it came down for him to live, he said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, about verse 11, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know all the answers. I don't. And let me tell you right now is, I want to believe what God says I do. And if God would hear and answer our prayer, we could change a whole lot of things. But if you don't, he doeth all things well. And sometimes that's a bitter pill to swallow, and it's hard to just receive and accept what God's already given. I can promise you right now, whether God does what I want or not, He's still God. Many times He's done exactly what I wanted. Because you know why? Because I got in on what He wanted already. There's been times it didn't come at it at all. Not at all. It was completely the opposite of what I wanted. But He's still God. He's still God. I can say that to you with all the authority, because out of all these years, you've marched to the graveyard with me on more than one occasion. Did I like it? Not at all. Did I complain about it? A whole lot. But I stand before you to let you know that God doeth all things well. If you keep on, one of these days, we'll be going to the funeral, either for me, there may be one or for you. Well, not Brother Edward, but I meant he's 87. And just marching on. The truth keeps marching on. I guarantee you right now, don't you kid yourself, friend. He's got more than a few donuts under his belt. He has seen some stuff in days gone by. What about you this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. Lord, direct us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. I'm confident that while that we're hurting beyond explanation, and yet we know thou art God, and beside thee there's none else, and thou doest all things well. Now I pray your blessings upon these that have gathered. And I pray somehow or another you'll let the word lodge in our hearts, that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. If there's one lost without God in our midst, may you trouble them, even upon their bed as they get ready to sleep at night. May you trouble them till they see themselves like you see them, and they cry out from the depths of their soul about being born again into the family of God. We pray you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.